You're about to hear the Sunday sermon from the Grapevine Church of Christ in Grapevine, Texas, a family who's devoted to giving our lives to and living our lives for Jesus Christ. If you have any questions about today's lesson, visit us on our website, www.grapevinechurch.com. Thanks for listening.
Well, we have come to the very end of our Freedom Series. I hope you've enjoyed it. I hope it has helped you to see things a little differently. I hope it has encouraged you and inspired you. And I tell you, I feel honored and privileged that I get to study this. So thank you for allowing me to do that and to let you in on kind of what the Spirit is showing me. And today I just pray that the Spirit even speaks even more through this flawed person. So let's begin our very last sermon on this. Next week we begin a new one, and it's called Distracted. And it should be very interesting on our way into the school year. So don't miss next week. All right, so several years ago, there was a man who was traveling from one state to another. And this man was a little distraught. He was depressed. He was seriously considering ending it all. He stopped in a little town of Brunswick, Georgia, and he found a church. And there at this church, he found a counselor. Started talking, told him everything. And the counselor introduced him to God. And this man, he met God in that small white church there in Brunswick, Georgia. Very picturesque, isn't it? Well, several years later, he wanted to look up the man who had helped him find this new life. So he Googled him, and he found that he does not work at the church anymore, but he was in the area still. So he came out, and he met him, and they had lunch together. And as they were leaving lunch and ready to part ways, he noticed this man was, he had to get gas. He was buying lottery tickets. And he said, "Hey, this will be fun. Here's $20. Well, the ticket hit. Now, this is only half of what the duo earned, $318 million. And you would think, there you go, what a wonderful providence of God story. Man finds God and then finds money right afterwards. That would be great, wouldn't it? Well, so at the award ceremony, they had these two huge checks, and they ask this man, Shaw McBride, "What are you going to do with your money?" And he says, "Well, I'm going to give it all away. It's only money," he says. "It can only buy the things that I don't really need, so I'm going to give it to those who really need it." Admirable, inspirational, right, for him. It's great for him. But you know, if that were me, I'd be able to manage it. Right? I mean, I wouldn't have to give it all away. But for him, bravo. Good slow clap moment for you. And the people in the audience, it's funny, at this little press conference, you can see the people just staring at this man. What? What? How naive must you be, young man, to give it all away? Could you do that? $159 million in your hands, could you give it all away? Just pass it on to someone else. Whew, I don't know if I could. This past month, we've been talking about what it means to be free. And the conversation started with this one scripture. We've said it every sermon, so I want you to repeat it with me, okay? "For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." Now, we've talked about what this freedom is and what it's not. And if you're visiting, I encourage you to go online to our website and listen to some of these past sermons. You can go also on iTunes and just search for Grapevine Church of Christ. But the main idea that we have to come to terms with in regards to freedom is that the freedom that Christ came to give is not linked to any nationality, any country, any race or creed. It is not bound to democracy or to totalitarianism. The freedom that has been offered us is a freedom from slavery to sin. The freedom of spirit and soul, a freedom that keeps us from having to be ruled by anything except God and His Spirit. See, this freedom is a declaration of dependence on God. You remember that from our first sermon? A declaration of dependence on God. Now, we're mortal, we're human. We know what it's like to be dependent. dependent on our job, dependent on our, I guess, others for, you know, to make us feel like we're doing something good with our life. We know what it means to be dependent. We also know what it means to be ruled by things, whether it's our emotions, whether it's our wants or needs. We know what it feels like to be angry, don't we? You know, we know what it feels like to be filled with hatred in some level for those people who want to do us harm, for people who have done others harm. I try to read Facebook sparingly these days. It seems like a mission field, really. You know, moments when you can kind of help people see things in a little different way. Because if you've noticed lately, there's so much anger, isn't there? When it comes to certain issues. Now, occasionally you'll have a nice scripture in there and a nice picture of somebody and their dog, and those are great. But so much anger, and I've even seen hatred. Nice people who would never say anything like this to somebody's face, but you put a laptop in their hand and whammo. What I've learned is that hot button issues generate a lot of traffic. Because, you know, at Grapevine Church of Christ, we have a Facebook page and we post a lot of things. But there's not a lot of likes on those from our members or from other people. And I'm thinking it's probably because it's not controversial enough. So get ready this week. I can't lie. I don't like my job. The thing is, I'm not throwing stones because I've been right there with you. I've replied to comments and to posts and I've regretted what I've said. But I think something we need to remember about this is that it's one thing to feel anger, but if that anger turned hatred begins to control us, then you know what? We're slaves. We are not free. Now, we all know what it means to be afraid. We all know what it means to fear to not have enough. You know, fear of not getting what we deserve, fear of those things that are out of our control. We know that fear, and some of us live there. And I think we've kind of given fear control over our lives. And if our decisions are based on what we're afraid of or what we're afraid of might happen, we're not free. We're slaves. And we also know what it means to harbor anger, to harbor bitterness, to harbor resentment and disappointment. And we know how easily those things can control us. We know the feeling because it seems that the older I get for me, the more people disappoint me. Is that the same with you? When we let those things take over, then it taints how we see everyone else. We become guarded people because, you know, as if we're guarded, we don't have to experience pain. But our problem isn't that our guardedness is keeping things out. You know what it's doing? The walls we built around ourselves, they're actually keeping things in. And when we're controlled by these things, the anger, the disappointment, we're not free. We're slaves. And the question I've been asking myself all week, do I struggle with freedom? Do you struggle with freedom? Are you still a slave? Well, there's good news. I'm going to tell you, we are the children of God. Let me say it again. We are the children of God. That deserves another amen. Come on, it's okay. You can be vocal. Paul says this in Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 6. He says this, "And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then also an heir through God. Abba, Father." I told you that story of that little girl in Israel who is crying to her father to come because he's late for dinner. Abba! She's 3 years old. I could just see it. The Spirit of God is inside of us, crying out for complete dependence on God. Abba! We are heirs to the kingdom of God. Heirs. That means we have an inheritance coming. We've been given the keys to eternity. We claim to know and to have what the world needs. And I know we want to show the world this love and this mercy and this grace and this eternity, but sometimes all I think people see is independent and fearful people who can't even see past right here and now. I'm talking about myself too. And I wonder, why can't people see my Christianity? Why isn't my witness enough? It's because maybe I'm really not that different. Because I keep turning back to those things which seek to enslave me. And maybe Paul was right. One chapter earlier in Galatians chapter 4, starting in verse 8, he says this. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were enslaved to beings that by nature are not God's. Now, however, that you've come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and beggarly elemental spirits? How can you want to be enslaved to them again? Here's the question for the day and for this entire series. Okay, everybody look at me. I need to see your eyes. Tell this to kids, sorry. Do you want to be free? Do you want to be free? If so, freedom comes through a complete and total dependence on God. Or are you like me sometimes and you think you can still manage this life on your own? I feel it. Sometimes when I get to a low spot, I beg out to God, save me, forgive me. And God does, and it's amazing, and the burden's lifted. And then another sin comes around, and I step forward, and I say, I got it. I got this. You just hang back. And what normally happens? Are you dependent on God? Have you given yourself to Him completely? And if not, what is holding you back? Now, I've heard some people say, for the most part, I've given myself to God completely. For the most part. I think if we are, for the most part, people, then we really haven't given God control. Is He really in control if He's got most, for the most part? It's like that song, you know, Carrie Underwood, God bless her. Jesus, take the wheel. We sing it. We love it. Take the wheel in the car that is my life. How many times have I said that? Take the wheel, Jesus. Oh, good. You saved me. That was a good move. Good move. Now, I got it. Take the pedals. Or, hey, how about you take the radio? You know, the radio's good. And stay over there. Keep guide, guarding, and directing until I need you. It's a little close to home, isn't it? I know it's scary, y'all. It is so scary to give yourself completely to God. It is so scary to give Him complete control, to go all in, to give yourself away. And I know that to release control to Him, it might mean we have to go somewhere we don't want to go. It might mean we have to do something we don't want to do. It might mean that we have to be in a situation, you know, that might be uncomfortable. Did you know that one of the proven facts in American churches today is that people would rather be unhappy than uncomfortable? I'll let that sink in later. Several months ago, Jamie Weatherall, I asked her if I could tell her story. Apparently, I said something in one of my sermons that made her choose to do something crazy. So she decided she was going to go work at a special needs camp with kids, right? Is that right? Now, this camp is you know, it's just a camp, but this woman is not a camper. I don't know if she's ever done that before in her life, and glamping maybe, okay, but not camping, all right? And so it was an uncomfortable moment, and I told her, that's what you get for listening. But what's funny is that she didn't want to go, but she did it. I wonder, why am I not willing to be more uncomfortable like that? Maybe because I still think I can manage my life in such a way that I don't have to suffer discomfort or be uncomfortable. I can manage this whole Christian life with, for the most part, dependence on God without having to give myself completely away. You know, VBS this past week, we had so many volunteers, and man, it was fantastic. I mean, these people, they were doing it. And I heard from some people to say, kids are not my thing. And I get it. But you know what I heard? I heard them say that while they were serving our kids. They were uncomfortable. And by Wednesday, they were tired. And they realized, man, these kids have got a lot of energy. But But they did it. They gave themselves away. In that moment, they made the gospel real for these kids. And so this is something that I've learned, and I want you to see this. Freedom in Christ is found in the midst of discomfort. My question is, are you willing to be uncomfortable? I'm not just talking about no AC. I'm talking about genuine discomfort. To serve, even if it's not your gift. To step up, even if you may not feel like you want to. Now, granted, I know it's one thing to serve from your giftedness, but it's a whole other thing to actually step out into a realm that you're not comfortable with and to find out what God could do with you in that specific moment. My prayer in the past, and I'll just confess it, it has been this: God, I am willing to be led as long as it's to a place that's safe. I'm willing to give myself away completely as long as I can still have my stuff and my job and my health, my things. I'm going to give you two questions to think about. I've returned to Mark chapter 10. We're almost done. Mark chapter 10. Give you a couple things to think about today. Jesus in this chapter is addressing some, for the most part, people. He's addressing some people who haven't necessarily fully given themselves away. So the question I have for you first is this. If you really want to experience freedom in Christ, the freedom that Christ came to bring, what is it worth to you? If you really want to experience freedom, what's it worth? Okay, starting in verse 7, it says this. As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one's good but God alone." I can see this little wink moment. You know who I am, don't you? You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother. And he said to him, "Teacher, I've kept all these things since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him, and he said, "You lack one thing. Go sell what you own and give to the money of the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Now, we've spoken about this man before, but this man is everything we would have hoped to be. If he were a modern-day disciple right here, we would all be thinking, this is elder material right here. This is the guy. But Jesus knew that in the midst of this man's goodness and in the midst of his inspiring life, there was a part of this rich man who still thought he could manage it without really having to give it all away. Because for him to go all in meant for him to release the hold that those things he owned had over him. And at that moment, he was the best dressed, the brightest, the most moral slave in town. And he knew it. Because for that moment, for him, eternal life wasn't as valuable to him as his possessions were. So the question is, what is freedom worth to you? What is it worth to you? Second, the apostles had their doubts, by the way. And so the question I have for the next one is, what's holding you back from giving yourself completely away? Look at Peter, James, and John. I'll do two verses. One of them is found in verse 28. And it says this, "Peter began to say to him, 'Look, we've left everything and we've followed you.'" I can hear that Peter saying, tell me, what does this mean for us here? And then James and John, a little later in verse 35, let's see here. It says, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And then he said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left hand in your glory. But Jesus said to them, you do not know what you're asking. I love these men because their reactions are so very real. They're really struggling with this one fact that's found in 45, that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but came to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Because the life that Jesus has come to give us comes through an exchange process. We must be willing to exchange our life for his. He took our sin so that we could have a future and an eternity. Why would we not be willing to give him our life so that he could give us his? He's got a way better life than we do. He's not bound to anything except to his promises and his love. Why would we not want that? Because you know what? We've been freed. We are free, and not only have we been freed from hate, we're free to love. We're free to love just like God loved. And not only have we been freed from fear, we are freed to live, to be courageous. And not only have we been freed from this harboring of anger and disappointment and selfishness, but we are free to forgive. We are free to forgive as God forgave us. Wow, that's power. Forget about this whole political and social and all that power. This is real power here. The power to forgive someone? Wow. What could possibly be worth more than that? Than this freedom that God has to offer? Because at the heart of it, no matter what you have, no matter who you are, God has said, imagine you could be free to give it all away. Because we're children of God. We're heirs of God. God has promised us an eternity through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. He's paid our debt. Why shouldn't we give ourselves to him fully? Can you believe that he wants us? Think about yourself for a moment. Think about the worst person you know. He wants them too. He's willing to exchange his life for theirs. To give us that life. Can you believe that he cares for us enough to take this mortal, temporary, sin-stained life and exchange it with his perfect, sinless, graceful, love-filled, and eternal life? Why would I ever decline such an offer? This is freedom. Everybody stand for a second. I'm going to give us a moment to respond. The question I want you to continue to ask yourself, you can bow your head and close your eyes if you want. I want us to take the moment right now between you and God. I want to ask you, what is holding you back from giving yourself away completely? From being willing to be uncomfortable? Stepping up to leadership? From serving in places that may not be your gift? What's holding you back from letting go of those things that are most valuable to you? And I know it's scary. It's scary for me too to let go of those things, this new way of living. But what if it's true? What if God could release you from the chains that are binding you, the addiction that you have, the need for things, the need to feel like you're right and in control, free you from the fear for the future? Is it worth giving yourself away to be free from those things? Because it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. A freedom we have only dreamed of. And for God, our freedom was worth dying for. What is it worth to you? In a moment, Emilio is going to come down and he's going to give his life away today in baptism. How will you respond today? Freedom could be one choice away. Freedom.
You've been listening to Grapevine Church of Christ. Subscribe to the Sermon Podcast and to our other Grapevine Church podcast to hear special behind-the-scenes content. For more information, visit our website, www.grapevinechurch.com.